Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IAmDivine2022.
Providing insight and resources for your spiritual journey. Unity Online Radio. Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here is your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Unity Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Hope you like our new musical intros. They sound exotic, don't they? And they've just been put up in the last month or so. So shake it up a little bit. Do something new, right? So today I welcome Brother Chi Singh. Back to the show. Brother Chi Singh is a Christian Buddhist. He's a musician, and he's the founder and director of the Dallas Meditation Center here in Dallas, Texas. For the past year, he has been working with the challenges and opportunities of cancer, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. So today I have the pleasure of talking with him about his spiritual path, his teachings, and the ways that cancer have added to his practice. So it's an honor to welcome Brother Chi Singh to today's show. Welcome.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad to be with you again.
Well, I'm glad you're able to, because I know, a few weeks ago you were pretty overwhelmed, weren't you? And you've sort of bounced back again, and you've started to teach a little bit again, I think, at the center and everything. So tell us where you are right now in that journey.
Yes, well, I'll know a little bit more in a week or two when I get my next scan.
And, right.
But through health or illness, the greater reality that I'm experiencing right now is really practicing being in the present moment and deeply and fully, and appreciating each day, one day at a time. That's something I already knew that theoretically, of course, but I think that this health challenge or health opportunity that I've been going through has really reinforced that truth in very practical, real ways in my life right now.
Right, yeah. Well, when we get illnesses, especially one that's got the energy around it that cancer does, there's a tendency to go into all kinds of places in our heads. And I know this from personal experience and also from, being a minister for almost 30 years, dealing with people going through it. It's easy to go into fear, isn't it? It's easy to go into why me, Lord? Into my life's over, anything but actually living in the present. And so it's really tough then to confound those old conditionings or tapes, if you like, and stay present and stay in joy in the midst of it. So you're a testimony to that, probably to many people, and listening to or reading your posts and everything, I sense a very honest approach. You're not trying to sweep it under the carpet, because that's the other sort of new agey, new thought way of doing things is, there is no reality to this. I deny it completely. And, you know, that may be true ultimately, but it still, you know, has relative realness for us, doesn't it? It can kill us, actually. We have to balance that. We can't sort of be in total denial to it. And so that nest, that balance, that resting between the two extremes, you know, is an elegant place, but it's not always easy to attain.
That's right. I feel very honored to know people who are going through the similar or even greater challenges than I am. I know it takes a lot of courage and bravery and strength, and it's not necessarily an easy journey, but if it's happening, it is part of your journey. And, you know, and that's one thing that I'm so grateful for in my Buddhist part of my practice. It's practice of mindfulness and also the practice of gratitude and finding the light in the darkness, or finding the jewel in the midst of the chaos. And I'm so grateful that I have my spiritual practice. It has helped me a lot. And at some point, I don't know, I wrote a prayer recently. I'd love to read it if there's time at some point. Maybe yes. I could even do it right now if you want.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, do it right now. It'll set the tone for the rest of the show.
Okay. So I wrote this very recently when I was at a retreat center. And I always tell people, you know, I recommend a three-prong approach to your meditation practice. One, of course, is your daily home practice. You know, even 5 minutes a day is better than nothing. And also, if you have a local group that meditates together that you like, I highly recommend doing that once a week as well, or at least once a month at least. And then the third aspect of this three-prong approach is to go away, you know, maybe once a year at least, or however you can, to a retreat, a meditation-oriented retreat, such as a weekend or a week-long retreat. If you can do all three of those in a regular or semi-regular way, they really accelerate, at least in my experience, they accelerate your ability to really allow the spiritual teachings and practice to really take root and get embodied in your life. So anyway, I wasn't surprised when a few songs came through and also a few poems, as well as this prayer. Whenever I go on a retreat, I don't try to write a song. I don't try to write a prayer or a poem, but it just comes out because it's just sort of like it's already part of who I am. And when I allow myself the opportunity of a retreat where I'm silent and still enough and really just open to nature, it just comes out. So anyway, here is my heart's prayer. O beloved Spirit Divine, infinite light of my life, my future is unclear, shrouded by the clouds of uncertainty. I cannot even say if I will be around next year. I am constrained by my physical circumstances of sickness and health to simply live, to live simply, one day at a time, one week at a time, one month at a time. Life and death are so close, strange bedfellows, an odd couple, faithful companions on this journey from here to hereafter and perhaps back again. Oh, my love, I am not afraid. And even when I am afraid, I know you hold me even in my fears. Thank you for all the experiences and lessons and opportunities of service these past 45 years. Thank you for eyes that have seen so much beauty, ears that have heard such sublime music, for the fragrance of roses and the taste of berries, for the orgasmic caress of lovers and the amazing ability to imagine and daydream. Thank you for my crazy family and the few faithful friends who companioned my heart for years and lifetimes. Thank you for all my spiritual teachers, both ancient, past, and present. Thank you for this beautiful home we call Earth, and thank you for our eternal home we call Heaven. I cannot thank you enough. My worship is my gratitude and a life worth lived. Let me be as mindful as possible so that I can savor every moment here and now. This is my heart's desire, my prayer, my gift laid gratefully at the altar of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Om and Amen.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And and what's beautiful about it is, you know, it's an honest document, isn't it? It's expansive because you're expanding into God's infinity, but you're also, you know, being very real and saying, this is where I am right now at this moment, and how do I feel about it? But the choice, I love the idea of the choice of experiencing the preciousness. You know, it's one of the things that the Buddha reminds us of, isn't it? It's how precious human life is, you know, the ability to taste the berry and to, you know, have love with another person, etc. You know, those are simple things, but they're probably the best things. You know, I've got a young grandchild right now. She's 15 months old, and she's tasting things for the first time, and she's smelling and touching and enjoying things, you know, and it takes you back also to that moment too. It's wonderful to see another human being experiencing, you know, what a precious gift that is to see them at the beginning. And it hopefully reminds us that we can also go back, because it's endless. It's an endless cycle of appreciation, isn't it, of our lives.
Very beautiful. It really points to the reality of impermanence, which when we really deeply contemplate and really deeply practice harmony with that reality, it's very profound, actually. Even though it seems simple, yeah, of course, everything's impermanent, things change, you know, but only knowing that on an intellectual level doesn't actually help transform your suffering around it, because we have a lot of subconscious, unconscious clinging that we do, because even though we may intellectually agree, yes, of course, things change, things don't stay the same, things are impermanent, things that come into existence also pass away. But if we don't get that on a deeper level, really deep, we never really transform our unconscious habits of mental habits of, we still act as if some things are permanent, some things should stay the same, or some things, you know, don't change. And when we act in those ways or think in those ways, because that is actually not in harmony with reality and the way things go, then that only can lead eventually to some sort of suffering. People who say, well, this physical realm isn't really ultimately real anyway. Okay, so on some metaphysical level, I think they're speaking to a certain kind of truth. But, you know, you can't say that and then, okay, well, if you're going to say that, then why don't you stop eating and drinking?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, regardless, you are in your experience of this world is real, in the sense that your perception, your experience, those are real for you. And so you need to learn how to work with your level of consciousness and reality right here, right now, where you are, and keep it real. I mean, that's one of the themes that one of the spiritual communities I'm a part of in Dallas you know, their theme this year is keep it real, keeping it real. And I really love that. I appreciate that because as a New Thought community, I think they also know that you have to keep things about. You can't. And in fact, this month and next, they're doing a series on keeping your body healthy and eating healthy and things you can do to keep your health, your body healthier. So I think that's really important because you, if you get too extreme in the ideal, you forget that this is really where it's at. You know, the Buddha even said, you cannot get enlightened apart from this. And what he was referring to was, you know, this moment, this body, mind, this, whatever your current situation is, this is where the spiritual rubber meets the road.
Right.
And this is where enlightenment is found, right here, right now, in this realm, in this body, in this consciousness. So,
you know,
I really, yeah.
No, I agree with you completely because, you know, the Diamond Sutra talks about that, you know, that nothing is added here. It's not like, well, I'm going to, you know, transcend and realize another dimensional reality. No, whatever is here right now. And there's a great line I've always loved. It's been on my refrigerator for years. I think it's from the Lanka Atara Sutra, and it says, nothing is as it seems, which is the, you know, the illusory nature of things. And then, but it, then it also goes on to say, neither is it otherwise. In other words, you know, it's not what it seems, but don't think there's another alternate reality. It's, you've got to see through this reality and not be conditioned by it and notice how wonderful it is just as it is. And that's a tough one,
right,
isn't it? We're going to be teaching this on Sunday, actually. I'm doing a sermon on Zen, which is really about that, you know, everything's just normal, you know, nothing special. And yet in that ordinariness is something extraordinary. So it's a sort of a paradox.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was in ICU a couple of months ago, because I had some complications, and then I started getting infections in my lung, very, very serious, almost fatal form of pneumonia. There was one point when, you know, the doctors thought I would die, but what I experienced was a lot of physical suffering, but at the same time, I kept practicing as much as I could something spiritual that I knew. I couldn't do walking meditation because I was strapped to the bed. I couldn't do sitting meditation, and my voice was completely just gone. I couldn't even do chanting practice. There wasn't a lot I could do, and not even journal writing. I mean, I couldn't read or write or anything while I was in the bed. So I was very weak. And all I could do, because I was asking, what could I do? And I realized that the real foundation of the practice is not the outer form. It's the inner mental attitude. And so I practiced at that deeper mental level, and I just said, okay, if I can't do any of these other things, this is what I'm going to do. While I'm there suffering in the hospital, in ICU, I just basically said, I'm going to stay present. I'm going to not try, I'm not going to try to escape into regrets about the past, and I'm not going to escape into worries about the future, or wishing things were otherwise than it is right now. Because
right,
that all that does is just, it either numbs you and you have to face it anyway later, or you actually suffer more. So I realize I need to stay present. And so, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to stay present, especially when the circumstances seem unpleasant. But in that moment, I had an amazing experience. It was almost like, it's almost like I took an inner spiritual deep breath, and I was so internal that I realized there was a great radiant light within me.
That's awesome.
I experienced it as if it was just the light of my soul, just expansive and unlimited and beyond this body and this hospital room. And
absolutely.
It was interesting. It was really great. It was like a wonderful reminder that we are much more than our body.
Unfortunately, the relative world is closing in. It's time for a break. And so I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm sorry about that. I'm with Brother Jim. No problem, I know.
it's impermanent.
It's impermanent. I'm with Brother Chi Sing, and we're talking about his remarkable journey. And we'll be back after these messages from Unity. Join us in a couple of minutes.
Wouldn't you like to share the programs that inspire you most with audiences around the world? That's easier than ever with mobile giving. Just text Unity Radio to 72727 and help us continue offering spiritual programs that change lives.
I'm Dr. Tom Shepherd, host of Let's Talk About It on Unity Online Radio. In my studies of world religions, I've repeatedly encountered two central spiritual questions. How do we make sense of life, and how do we live it more successfully? You're invited to explore these two questions with me in my new book, The Many Faces of Prayer, How the Human Family Meets Its Spiritual Needs. You'll be amazed at the remarkable ways people have learned to pray to their gods and to celebrate life individually and as communities of faith. Learn more at unitybooks.org.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome to today's show. I'm with Brother Chi Sing, and he's just been sharing a wonderful experience during a time of suffering in the hospital, dealing with, you know, some severe physical challenges, and yet also having an appreciation that there is, as we would say in Unity, a divine order here, that that there's a sense of all is well, even in the midst of extreme. A couple of years ago now, I guess it's 4 or 5, I had my parotid gland taken out because there was a growth growing in there, and it was a long surgery. It was 4.5 hour surgery, and the growth was cancer, but it was a minor form of cancer. But the danger was that they might cut my nerve in my cheek, and then you look a little weird because you're lopsided. So I remember waking up, and he told me, no, I hadn't cut anything. You're okay. You're not going to be lopsided. I thought, that's great. And then I was concerned about such a long time under the anesthetic, but I came out from that. So that was another good thing. And then he said, well, by the way, it was cancer. And I thought, well, okay, 2 out of 3 is not bad, you know. it's weird. It was like, I don't know who said that, you know, because surely my humanness would have been afraid. But and I do remember lying in bed feeling very, very small, physically small and flat. And my daughter and my wife were there. But I felt actually my spirit being extremely large and enveloping the people in the room and actually being as big as the room. And that was an interesting experience because it showed me that, you know, this little thing called Paul, you know, this humanness is kind of small, but the spirit that we all are is magnificent and large. And I was very relaxed, even though, you know, well, where are we going from here? You know, what's going to happen next? So, you know, if I know what the, I hadn't, it wasn't in such an extreme circumstance you described, but it's a similar feeling, I think, that there is this sense of we're being taken care of. You mentioned in the break that, we don't just have friends on this side of the veil, but there are soul friends, you know, in other dimensions or beyond time or space or whatever. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. I felt, you know, I didn't have like one of those classic near-death experiences where I, you know, left my body and went through a tunnel and saw all this light and everything. But I was close enough, you know, where the veil between worlds is thin, as they say, that I really felt, I felt, you know, in that experience, the light of my soul just so great and cannot be impinged upon by any physical challenge at all. And I realized that. And I also realized that we have presences. I don't always know what to call these things, but I felt presences with me. And it was almost like I'm remembering, oh, yes, I do have soul friends and soul family that I may not know here on Earth, but they're part of my eternal life. So it's not like they're gone just because I'm here on Earth. They're still present in some way. And so it was very, very comforting for me to realize that I'm not ever, ever alone. And, of course, different people may experience this truth in different ways. Maybe they'll experience an angel or a relative that's deceased present in the room, or they may experience it as Christ or God or whatever, or the Buddha. But for me, I really felt it as we all have spiritual friends and companions, and they're always, always there.
Yes.
And that just meant a lot to me, very much.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you believe that everything is an infinite matrix, that there is no time, really, that it's all here, then that's a very real thing. All our loved ones are still with us. And Jesus referred to this, you know, he said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms or mansions, and we're in one, and our loved ones are in another, but we're all together in God's great house of life. And I think he's referring to that same concept. And you know, the veil, as you say, is thin sometimes between the two. It's a liminal space, you know, where we can shift between the two. I got to tell a story because it happened a few weeks ago at the bench where my late wife, who died 12 years ago, we installed a bench on the river in Fort Worth on the Trinity River, and my daughter and I were going there. It's been 12 years since she passed, and we got there, and there was a man sitting there. We thought, oh gosh, we want this, you know, we wanted it to ourselves. He was a homeless person drinking a beer. But the first thing he said was, you know, when were you born? I told him, and I said, what about you? And then he said, you know, the same year that my wife was born. And then he said, I died 5 years ago from diabetic shock, and you want to ask me any questions? And I thought, who is this guy? You know, what is this about? And so we asked him, and he said, oh, it's pristine, it's beautiful over there, you know, all is well, all is beautiful, everything's spiritual, and it went on from there. But the point being, you know, to me, that it wasn't just a homeless man on the river. He was a representative, if you like, of a spiritual awareness, and he kept talking about, I love you all, and, you know, part of it could have been the alcohol, but part of it was, you know, he was there to bless us at that moment, and it was quite a remarkable experience. And I think these are evidences, aren't they, of you know, interbeing, of the fact that there's correlations everywhere.
Yes, that's very beautiful. You know, going back to the teaching on impermanence, you know, there are many beautiful angles on this, you know. One is because the nature of things is to change and move and be impermanent, then that means that we can go through each moment of our lives with a sense of not trying to cling to things, not trying to cling to things as if we could possibly really cling to them. There's an ungraspable aspect of reality, and we don't need to have to cling to it. And usually the clinging comes from a sense of lack or fear or inadequacy. But the other side of the truth of impermanence is because things don't stay the same, because things change and move on, then there's this beautiful side where then we practice in response a sense of appreciation. You know, appreciation for our beloved, because our beloved who is here with us, healthy, right now, in this way, that may change. And actually, it will change eventually. And so, impermanence also not only teaches us to not to cling, but also teaches us to deeply appreciate. See, there's a balance here, because some people get too far in the extreme of trying to transcend the whole world, you know, and they basically kind of become indifferent and isolated and separate sometimes. But then the other extreme is to get so caught up in the drama of this world that you can't really see the forest for the trees. I mean, you just get drowned in the drama. So the real path is a middle way, a middle path, which is a balanced way of going through our reality here. It's to realize the wisdom of transcendence, that, you know, there is more to reality than just this physical reality. And at the same time, to really deeply appreciate this physical reality with gratitude, with mindfulness, with appreciation, and being fully present in it. Because really, think about it. If you're here, you're here. You know, it's not like right now you're in some other realm, you know, but your experience right now is here. So be here. There's a reason why you're here. You know, we have plenty of time to dance with angels or whatever it is we're going to do in other realms. But we're here on the earth realm, and there's a reason for it. And I experience this sometimes with some of my meditation students. Sometimes they're like so excited, they're going to go to a retreat for the first time for a week with a wonderful meditation teacher. And so they have no idea what's going on today or tomorrow, because they're living in the future next week when they're going to the retreat. They're really excited. And of course, it's wonderful to be excited about future events. However, you can get lost and forget the beauty of this day and this moment because you're always looking to the future. And then what happens? Because you've habituated yourself to always look for the happiness in the future, when they arrive at the retreat, they start complaining, oh, this is kind of not as easy as I thought. Oh, gosh, you know, I kind of feel homesick. I can't wait to go home after this retreat. and then when they get home, they're like, oh, gosh, I wish I could have appreciated that retreat more. And maybe I'll have to find another retreat to go to next time. But see, it's not the outer circumstances here that's causing this. It's the internal habitual mental pattern, which is to always push happiness to the future. And so when you arrive at that imagined future, well, guess what? You're still going to try to look for that happiness in the future, even though you've arrived. So you've finally got your college degree, but you're still not happy. So you wait until you can get your first house, and then you're still not happy. Then wait till you get married. Then you're happy for a while, and then, okay, let's wait till we have kids. Okay, then you got kids, and then, okay, you can't wait till they go off to college and give you some space. And then when they're gone, you kind of feel lonely, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on. Because the secret to happiness, according to the Buddha and pretty much every spiritual tradition, is to appreciate here and now, to find that happiness right here, right now. If you can get into the habit of being able to really deeply appreciate and receive happiness right here, right now, guess what? You can do it at any point in any moment that is called now. You know, you don't have to wait for happiness and enlightenment in the future, but it starts right here and right now.
That's right. Words of wisdom, aren't they, of all, like you say, of all the great teachers, and there's a big gulf between knowing it and understanding it intellectually. Yeah, I understand that. It's true. And then actually embodying it and living it and feeling it on a daily basis. And that's the tough thing sometimes, is to actually let it become a reality, because the conditioning is so strong. You know, I call it planned fun. You know, our society is good about creating planned fun for us all, you know, where you're supposed to have an extremely exciting time doing these whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing. You know, it's going to be perfect, and it rarely turns out to be perfect. Like you said, there's always that tinge of not quite right, because, you know, anything that's planned is not the real thing, is it? There's the spontaneity of just being present cannot be planned, and so we have to let go of that. Unfortunately, we apply the planning consciousness to our spiritual path too. If I just do this right and that right, you know, you're familiar with the famous story of the man who goes intent to the Zen master asking for how long it'll take to get enlightened, and he says 7 years, and then he asks him, well, wait a minute, if I work really, really, really hard, how long will it take? And the Zen master says 14 years.
Yeah,
you know, it's counterintuitive, isn't it? You know, the more you try and push at it, the further away you get from it. You have to relax into
this.
That's
right.
Stuff.
Yeah, and it's really, again, about balance. You know, very recently, many different kinds of Buddhist symbolic figures, you know, they have some meaning for me, and I appreciate them. But to me, they just basically are symbolic of the qualities of our true Buddha nature of enlightenment that we all have. And so, you know, sometimes you embody them in different kinds of figures, such as different Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that have certain qualities that they exemplify. And I think
right. That's
great. But the one that most recently has meant the most to me is Kuan Yin, in Chinese, Guan
right.
Yin,
okay.
Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. And the reason why is because, you know, I've been relying a lot on the Buddhist quality of practicing as much as I can for my health, doing my spiritual practice, you know, putting a lot of effort and diligence into my spiritual life and my health, and all of this. And you know what? There comes a point. And of course, discipline is important in our lives, but there comes a point when you might get really exhausted from that approach. And I have to say, I've been exhausted through all of this. But you know what? In the very depths of my exhaustion, I had this sense of Kuan Yin, of this beautiful energy of motherly compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Touching my shoulder lightly, and saying, and it's okay. So
right.
It's
hold
like
that thought, hold that thought.
So I do my best, but you know that then let go. You know,
I hate to
trust.
Have to catch you off another time around. Here we go again. The relative world is pushing in again. We must go to a break.
Oh, no problem.
Let's talk more about Kuan Yin when we come back, because that is a beautiful. Presence of uplift. So I'm with Brother Chi Singh, and we're going to listen to these messages from Unity. I'll be right back.
available, YouPray, the free prayer app from Silent Unity. For more than a century, people from all over the world and all walks of life have turned to Silent Unity. With YouPray, our confidential prayer support is easy and convenient to access. With YouPray, you can send your prayer directly to Silent Unity. YouPray also includes affirmations you can share with family and friends, plus audio meditations for your prayer time. For more about the free YouPray app and links to download, visit silentunity.org/app. That's silentunity.org/app.
Culture is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as modern popular culture transmitted via mass media and aimed particularly at younger people. But can it be meaningful? Spiritual even? The hosts of Pop Conscious think it can be, and that it can be fun to explore too. Melena Don and Stacey Macris Ross will be your amateur cultural anthropologists examining pop culture and spirituality every Monday at 2 p.m. Central on Pop Conscious on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to our third segment today. I'm with Brother Chi Singh. We're talking about the elegant path of integration, if you like, integrating both our idealism and our cynicism together. Jesus talked about this a lot. In one of my favorite quotes, he says, you know, to be innocent as a dove and wise as a, or cunning as a serpent, and combine those two together, you've got something interesting creature, don't you? And that's what we're invited to be, I think. And you know, they called Jesus a glutton and a drunkard in comparison to John the Baptist, who was so squeaky clean. He was a vegan and all that good stuff. But, you know, I think the point with Jesus is that he was in the world but not of the world. You know, he was enjoyed things. He turned water into wine. He talked with everyone, all and sundry, from the despised and women who were often despised to the great leaders. And embodied that sense of, you know, everything is grist for the mill. We were talking about Ram Dass book, Polishing the Mirror, in the break, and one of my favorite Ram Dass books from back in the day is Grist for the Mill. And I've always liked that idea that everything is grist for the mill, right? You wanted to talk about a Thich Nhat Hanh book called No Lotus Without Mud.
No Mud, No Lotus.
No mud, no lotus. Same idea, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the image of a lotus flower is so pristine and beautiful, and clean, and precious. But it cannot really grow fully unless it's growing in some sort of murky, muddy kinds of environment and muddy water. So the symbol here is, you know, it's not necessary for us to try to run away or escape or resist what is challenging in this earth experience. Rather, find the lotus flower that can grow from these challenging experiences. Find the jewel, find the light, and you don't need to do it all alone, and you don't need to do it with just only your effort. Yeah, we put effort into our lives and our practice, but Kuan Yin, for example, that energy of compassion, that is my true nature, our true nature, it reminds me, that, you know, it's okay. I can rest in the grace of the universal love that is always present. So I didn't accomplish some things I wanted to do by now in my life. Well, Kuan Yin reminds me it's okay. Maybe I wanted to record one more chanting music CD, but my voice right now is very weak. Well, it's okay. There's some other things that I look over my life as I've done lots of life reviews in my head. There are certain points where, gosh, I might not have done that so well here or there. And she basically puts her hands on my shoulder and my heart and just says it, and that's okay too. And I love this energy. It balances out the more masculine yang energy of my practice with that very gentle, loving yin energy of compassion. And you know, compassion we usually associate with our works of charity to help others, but it also includes self-compassion. Without that self-compassion, it will taint whatever outer compassion we practice for others. And so we have to be very, very diligent about making sure that our compassion flows from a self-compassion as well.
You know, so many of the images of the Divine Feminine, especially in its nurturing form, associated with water, you know, and the holy wells of the East and the West, of Celtic and Hindu, you know, spirituality, and the holy rivers and whatnot. And I love that idea because, you know, and as you say, it's part of the Taoist idea too of being bathed in this very flexible form of water that's very healing, you know, and cleansing. And it's not rejecting, is it? It embraces us completely. It surrounds us. So we can immerse ourselves in it. And that's what you're talking about, I think, is that gentle touch there that is embracing and not, it's generous too. It's there for all of us. It's non-judgmental and there's no hard edges to it either. I think that's an aspect of it. I think Jesus embodied it, didn't he? In the sense that he had that tenderness of the kind shepherd, you know, as well as the incisive harshness of his teaching sometimes. But it's a beautiful thing, I think, to be bathed in that. It's beautiful. It's uplifting.
Yes, and you know, people have it symbolized in all religious traditions, all cultures, in various ways. You know, one of the more prominent ways that Kuan Yin's energy is expressed is, for example, Mary. You know. And the artistic renditions of Mary just being there, present, and also sometimes holding baby Jesus or some other children. And artistic representations of Kuan Yin also have the same kind of qualities as well.
Yes.
It's universal because it is an expression of our universal divine true nature and its many qualities. Oh, by the way, let me know if I have time to do a closing chant for you from the Medicine Buddha mantra. It just takes about a minute.
Let's do that now because we have about 4 minutes left and that'll be a nice way to end the show. I do want to say that we wish the highest and best for Brother Chi Singh and his journey because it's not easy. But it's also inspiring to us all to talk with someone and feel the presence of someone who's working on that wonderful integration. So it's been a blessing to have you on the show today. And like we said, we send much loving kindness to you at this time.
Thank you. And you know, one of the other jewels of insights that have come through this experience is been realizing that I'm really part of all of it, and
yes,
that I'm not just the only one that's going through this. I mean, I've met lots of doctors and nurses and patients and other people going through similar or even worse things than I'm going through, and And it's just giving me a sense of our solidarity.
Yes,
and,
very
I mean,
nice.
You know, really, and I just love that, that, you know, all of us as humans, we're going to go through change. We're going to go through sometimes periods of health challenges and eventually physical death. And so I'm not the only one, you know?
Yeah.
And that has helped me to stop clinging to the ego self-identity so much. You know, I haven't completely released that, you know, but I've let go a whole lot more than before.
Well,
because there's so much more.
Jim Morrison was right, wasn't he? Nobody gets out of here alive, you know?
That's right.
Let's do the chant.
Okay. Sure. All right. Let's take a deep breath in and out. Focus on our heart and realize that there is healing on all levels available to us because of the reality of divine wholeness that is our true nature. Om Namo Bhagavate Vaishajaguru Vaidurya Prabharajaya Tathagataya Arhate Samyak Sambuddhaya Tadyata Om Vaishaje Vaishaje Mahabhaishaje Raja Samudgate Swaha. May we and all beings be happy. May we and all beings transform our suffering. May we and all beings rejoice in all blessings. May we and all beings be at peace, awakening to the truth of who we really, really are. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you, God. Wonderful. All right. A lovely way to end
the
show
you.
Today. Let me tell you about next week, and then we'll say goodbye to Brother Chi-Sing. Next week, Carlton Brown joins me. And he's going to talk about his new book, Sun God's Sacred Secrets, The Archaeology, Art, and Science of Altered States of Consciousness. So that sounds intriguing. We'll find out more next week, Sun God's Sacred Secrets. Right now, many thanks to Brother Chi-Sing for being on today's show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. And I appreciate all of the listeners. Thank you for letting me share a little part of my story.
Absolutely. We appreciate it very much. And thanks for listening, guys, and hope to tune in next week, all right, on this ongoing journey, this voice of an awakening world. And thanks for listening to World Spirituality. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org.
The base of all life is the infinite wellspring of Source, and each of us has a unique way of expressing that Source as an individualized soul. Do you enjoy the company of inspiring people who are living on purpose? Do you want to live joyfully attuned to your own unique soul expression? Host Reverend Kristen Powell welcomes you to join the gathering of souls who live this way. You'll meet artists, naturalists, and other soulful expressions that will inspire you to call forth the most alive, passionate version of yourself. Get into the natural stream of your own soul by tuning into Soul Stream live every Wednesday at noon Central Time on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Inspiration only takes a moment. Your friends at Unity invite you to reflect on these words from Reverend Jim Rosemurgee. Pause and take a deep breath. When you are ready, affirm silently to yourself, "Sweet, sweet spirit, I desire a closer walk with you. Show me the way. I am listening." Take time now, in the silence, to get in touch with the spiritual guidance within you. Have faith that your next step, your unfolding, your spiritual growth, is coming to you in divine order through your spiritual instinct or your spiritual knowingness.
This meditative moment is brought to you by Unity.
Benefits of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and release your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
At the base of all life is the infinite wellspring of Source, and each of us has a unique way of expressing that Source as an individualized soul. Do you enjoy the company of inspiring people who are living on purpose? Do you want to live joyfully attuned to your own unique soul expression? Host Reverend Kristen Powell welcomes you to join the gathering of souls who live this way. You'll meet artists, naturalists, and other soulful expressions that will inspire you to call forth the most alive, passionate version of yourself. Get into the natural stream of your own soul by tuning into Soul Stream live every Wednesday at noon Central Time on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Inspiration only takes a moment. Your friends at Unity invite you to reflect on these words from Reverend Jim Rosemurgee. Pause and take a deep breath. When you are ready, affirm silently to yourself, "Sweet, sweet spirit, I desire a closer walk with you. Show me the way. I am listening." Take time now, in the silence, to get in touch with the spiritual guidance within you. Have faith that your next step, your unfolding, your spiritual growth, is coming to you in divine order through your spiritual instinct or your spiritual knowingness.
This meditative moment is brought to you by Unity.
Benefits of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and release your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Our
Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IamDivine2022.